Hallelujah, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Lord, we rejoice with you this morning. We rejoice in you this morning. We rejoice to be here this morning. We thank you for the victory, Lord, that is in the atmosphere. We thank you for the victory that is found in your love. We thank you for the victory that is found in following you, Lord. Good morning, all. Wonderful to see everybody. If you would, open to John 13. Pastor, did you want to share something? Oh, yeah. It wouldn't be right to start with that.
That word that you give to the brother, for me. You're trying to be quiet over. Yes. It's over. I receive it. I receive that word for me, too. You know, our father. You receive it, too, Rosanne? Good. And you, Kathy, receive it? That word? Yeah. And Noe, too, he received it. You know. And so, our Father, he wanted to show the world himself. And because, remember, in the Old Testament, Yeah. He don't know when he's writing. It's not, I'm there. I'm just there looking at him. Yeah. In the Old Testament, they go, God. And they didn't see God. We said, you know, God, Adam used to see God face to face. Right? And he said, and the Lord was longing to those things happen again. He said, I want men to see me. I want men to see me. And then they sent Jesus. Jesus, the image of God, came to men can see God. Not just, oh, God. We were seeing God through Jesus Christ. We saw it. Men saw it. And they said, John said, we touch him. They touch God. They spoke with God. They saw God. Jesus not here anymore. But our Father, he wants to men see him here every day. Through who? Through us. And that's what the dream he showed me. And the dream was getting men, women and men, he was with his hand, just gentle checking, upside down, upside down. You know what's funny? The way he was checking us, and thing was falling from us. Like self, yeah, in a dream, selfiness, you know, all kind of stuff. And some people, they were just enjoying the checking. And another one, they was kicking and screaming. And the Lord said, you know, and I said, Lord, what's going on, you know? Why those kicking and screaming? And the other was just enjoying the checking, and things was falling for both groups, falling things. And he said, you know, those that are enjoying it, because they receive my process of transformation, changing, and embracing my grace. And the others, they're not embracing, you know, the transformation, and then I'm receiving my grace either to go to that transformation by checking. And he said, what the Lord is saying to the dream, whatever is happening to your life, you know, that checking that's going on in your life as the Lord, embrace it. Embrace his dealing with you. Embrace his grace. It's through his grace that we can be transformed every day, because he is still longing to people see him through his sons and daughters.
And we steal my stuff. We already told you half of what I was going to say. So we turn to John 13. Want to see Jesus? Want to see Jesus? You're gonna know how to see Jesus. By the end of what I have to share today, there's going to be no doubt in your mind on how to see Jesus. Robert Coleman said this, that the revival is the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. See, we're seeking something, we're seeking a holy transformation. We're seeking an authentic relationship with God, an authentic Christianity. And that authentic Christianity comes as a love affair with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is who and what He's called us to be, as lovers of Himself. This is an authentic Christianity. This is the goal of what He's creating us to do. But see, in order for us to do that, we must first discover and understand the love that He has for us. Because until we know the love that He has for us, until we receive that love, it's really hard for us to begin to reflect that love. It's hard for us to reach into a well of emptiness and pull out love for somebody else. So we have to be able to understand and receive the love that God has already dedicated to us. He already gave it to us. He declared it and He's promised it. The matter, the result is all we need to do is receive. We need to begin to walk in the reality of what He's already given us and walk in the understanding of the promise to such a degree that it becomes a reality, not in us, just in His Word, not just in His heart, but in our life. Hallelujah. God's love is true acceptance, and it comes without qualification or reservation. It's not based, as I've said before, on our performance. But see, I'm not just preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to me. The reason that you guys are having to endure this teaching on love is because this is what God is doing in me. You'll get it in a minute. John 13. It says, by this, verse 35, I'm sorry. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you walk in power and anointing. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you move in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you drive a big fancy car. That if you have more friends than anybody else on Facebook. No, what does it say? By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. If you have love one for another. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Something he said to me, you know, over the last week or two, we're doing a Sozo conference coming up, and I'm really excited about that, and I'm really excited to see the effect that it's going to have in people's lives. But at the same time, I'm also having to redo the manual, and we're working through that process, and there's a lot of little things that have to be done, and exciting things like formatting and stuff like that, that it's an entire distraction to my life, but anyway, with all the busyness and distraction, here's the lie. Here's what the Lord said. The lie is, I don't deserve to have fellowship with you because of all the distraction and busyness this week. This is when I sat down with Him yesterday. And sitting in the back of my mind, that was what I was struggling with, trying to find that place. But see, the struggle wasn't on His side. The struggle was purely on my side. Now, I know intellectually it's not about my performance. But what was I walking out of my heart, came a performance issue. He says, my truth is nothing can separate you from my love, for it is never about your performance. Okay, I'm preaching it. Now I got to walk it. And he says this, I am lovesick for you. Will you be lovesick with me? I reveal myself to those who choose to accept my love. Your acceptance of and reliance upon me are the primary factors in what we can do. Your acceptance of His love, your reliance upon Him for everything. Those are the two things that shape or limit, depending on which part of it you're using or not, what you can do. I have chosen to make myself and my resources available. Will you receive them? And guess what, church? He's not telling that just to me. He's telling that to every one of you. He's chosen to make His love available. He's chosen to make His resources available. It's up to us to receive it. It's up to us to stand in faith and know that He can do this and He's wanting to do this. He's desiring to do this in our life. And it's up to us to be into this, say, Lord, I'm here. I'll stand in it. And see, but this is not just the first time that He said this, because a couple weeks ago or a week ago, I don't know exactly how long this was at the moment. But anyways, He says, I desire to make a fundamental shift from performance-based beliefs to love-based beliefs. What He's trying to accomplish is a shift from performance-based thinking to love-based thinking. No longer looking to have right actions for justification, but having right actions because of justification. Allow my love to lead you there. Your acceptance is not tied to your actions. Your acceptance is tied to my love and your receiving of it. Love is the assurance of my presence, the reality of my acceptance. Safety is found in my love. Love is most recognized as an emotion, but it is so much more. Love is the essence of who I am, the power and the fruitfulness of my character, the tangible force producing grace and truth. My love is not limited, nor is it afraid. My love is greater than your provocation should you receive it and walk in it. You can trust the love I offer, for it is more real than the very earth that you stand on. Trusting and walking in my love will bring order and peace into your life, for my love will draw you close that you may see and know my ways. Be assured, I am in love with you and ready for you to engage the fullness found in my love. My love can be seen and even demonstrated in another, but your life has changed when it is received. True love embraces my holiness, is guided by my light, and delights in my presence. My people shall be known by my love. Go to Ephesians with me, Ephesians 2. Being transparent isn't always easy, but it's always freeing. Church is not good enough for your pastor just to speak about it. He's got to walk in it. Got to walk in it. We want to shift from a performance-based thinking into a love-based thinking. Which brings up the question that I've never heard anybody discuss. What is love-based thinking? Coming from you, that's totally understanding. What is love-based thinking? If we're going to shift from performance-based thinking to love-based thinking, we got to understand what love-based thinking is. Love-based thinking is not just the Ten Commandments. It's not just opening the door for somebody. It's not just walking little ladies across the street, which is all good. Some of the little ladies are glad for that, yes. Whether they want to go or not. Verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2 and raised us up with him and seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift from God. We have to recognize that first and foremost of all is that the grace of God, it comes. The grace of God comes because he's trying to move us out of our performance-based thinking into a love-based thinking, because the love-based thinking will always employ the method of grace. A love-based thinking will have the involvement of grace in it, because until you have grace in it, you can't begin to actually receive God's love. Grace and truth came by Christ Jesus. For us to receive the love of the Father, which is represented in Christ Jesus, we have to receive that love and that truth that are also represented there. So as we begin to walk in this love and we begin to walk in this grace, we can begin to realize that God is giving us a force that will prepare the way before us. It prepares the way, not for us to do just our own will, but it prepares the way for us to do the Father's will. That's what grace is for. Grace is the empowerment to complete the assignment that God has given you. Grace is the empowerment to fulfill the desire that the Father puts in you. So when we start to decide that I'm going to walk in love, we don't have to do that. We're not left to do that in our own strength. He gives us a grace and an empowerment to fulfill that desire, because that's who he is. We're not left to overcome our past all by ourselves. We are given one who's already given us the authority. As we walk in the knowledge of Christ Jesus being within us, then we're already becoming the place where we can begin to acknowledge the authority that we have because of that event. When I very first started doing deliverance, the thing that the Lord showed me to do was just imagine me standing right behind you, and as you speak, I'm doing what you're speaking. We progressed to the point where we understood that authority rests within us, but it was an image that he gave me so that I could understand the authority of what was happening. It wasn't just me speaking, it was Christ in me speaking when he said, speak these things, do these things, and that I should have an expectation for something to happen the same as I would have the expectation if he said it. We have to receive those things by grace. It says, by grace we are saved. In other words, by grace we are sozoed. We are healed, delivered, and made whole. What does that mean? That means a total restoration to who you are supposed to be. A total restoration to that which is the plan of God for your life. Sometimes, you know, our own actions have caused us to be derailed from God's plan, but you know what? He's quite willing to get you right back on the track. He's willing to step in and go to bat for you in spite of what you've done. Maybe sometimes even because of what you've done. Because, see, he wants to release the testimony of who he is through you. And he releases that through this mechanism, this power called grace. It's the grace that awakens us to the destiny that's been placed within us. So love-based thinking is going to be a thinking that employs the mechanisms of grace. It employs the authority of grace. Now I have a question. Would you rather be in a love-based relationship or a performance-based relationship? But when you start looking over the things in your life, what do you see? Most of the time, what we really see, if we're really honest, is series after series after series of performance-based relationships. I'm only good enough if. I can only hang out with them if. If there's an if in it, it's performance-based. If there's an if in your thinking towards someone, they only love me because they don't know. They're only with me because they haven't seen. Those are performance-based criteria. See, the reality is, because of the fall, we've been conditioned by an environment, by a society that doesn't know anything but performance-based. We have been conditioned by a society that is not love-based. From the first times when you were spanked on your bottom to start crying, to everything else that's happened in your life, it's almost always been performance-based things that were happening. Speaking to you about what love is and what love isn't, and causing you to have an understanding of yourself that doesn't have anything to do with who Christ Jesus is in your life. But I'm promising you it's truth, and I'm promising you that this is going to revolutionize our lives as we see it and understand what God is giving us, because He's giving us a key to understand the victory that we have. I didn't like looking at the relationships in my life and realizing most of them are performance-based. There are a few people who know everything there is to know and love me anyway. And that's awesome. That's a wonderful gift. Guess what? Performance-based thinking is about fear. It's fear that mandates performance-based thinking. It's the usual motivator of these things. But that's not the way it was supposed to be. See, a love-based thinking is going to come back. It's going to take us back to what we had at the garden. So let's go to Genesis 2. When we have love-based thinking is going to look very different than anything that we've experienced growing up. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. But that's just the way that is. Because the society that man has created has fallen so short of what we've been created to do and to be, to express. See, love-based thinking in the garden, there was nothing but love-based thinking. Adam had a relationship, an open, totally open relationship and dialogue, communication with the Father. He walked in the cool of the garden with the Father. This was just the way life was. It wasn't something that had to be worked up. It wasn't something that was expected or not expected. It wasn't something he was doing in order to earn approval. It was just the way it was. There was no fear in the garden. There was no guilt and shame in the garden until the fall. All the usual motivators that our society motivates people with, control and fear and all the manipulations and all those things, none of those things were in existence in the garden, because none of those things is a love-based thinking. God has called us to love-based thinking. A love-based thinking that will transform our thought process. A love-based thinking that will begin to change the way we interact with one another. That we begin to step into the victory that He has given us. A thinking that is minus the fear. It's minus the guilt. Minus the shame. What does He say here in Genesis 2 and 15? It says, the Lord took the man and put him into the garden to cultivate it or to dress it and keep it. Some observations. From that scripture, you just learned that man wasn't created in the garden. God put him in the garden. That means he had no inherent right. The earth that he was formed out of didn't come out of the garden. He was only there in the garden by grace. In the same way that we've been given this position to go into the Father, we've been given it by grace. There is no inherent right in and of yourself, in and of the flesh that you have, but the right came from what God has given you. He was given authority to dress and to keep. Guess what? Those are the priest-king. See, when we're given the authority to dress, that means to cultivate, it means to cause to serve it as a Levitical priest. That cultivation is a cherishing of all that God says is holy. When we cherish what He says is holy, then we're causing a Levitical priesthood. We're standing as a priesthood over our life. Love-based thinking will cause you to move into the priesthood over your life. It will cause you to move into a position of priesthood over your families and over those who are around you, over those that you love and those that God puts in your path. That's what love-based thinking does. Love-based thinking is not guided by fear. Love-based thinking is guided by what is the thing that's most beneficial for this individual at this moment. Sometimes the thing that is most beneficial is to put order in their life. Because we see that that's what Jesus did. When he spoke to the Pharisees, what was he doing there? He was speaking order into that religious system. There's going to be a new order because that is not who God is. When he spoke to the lost and the downtrodden, he released a love that's more in characteristic of what we understand as love. But see, both of those things were love because both of those things had the potential to draw the person back to the Father. That's what he's looking for, is to draw us back to the Father. Luke 19 and 10 says that the very stones will cry out if we won't worship him. What he was saying is that even in the garden, the whole object of what Adam was to do was to cause the garden to worship the Father. It was his assignment. There was no work and toilsome, wearisome effort. There was only work in the terms of what was causing the garden to release the sound in it. The sound of worship, the sound of praise to the Father. We're to release the sound of those that are around us. It's part of our priesthood. Lead it into worship, reverence, holiness. And see, and the keep is a stewardship. It's the stewardship is the act of the king to guard, protect, preserve, watch over. These are the acts of the king. This is what the king is supposed to do, is walk in stewardship of what has been placed in his hands, whether it's a gift or a finance or whatever it is that God has placed in your hands. We walk in that stewardship over it. We walk in the kingship of it. And as we walk in the kingship of it, there is a release of the promise to the Father. These are the things that are the results. Because see, this is where we started from in the garden. This is what love-based thinking is moving you back into, where you're motivated by these things. You're not motivated by fear and control and manipulation. You're motivated by the things called love that will result in a priesthood and a kingship coming forth in your life. It will result in you coming to the very nature and purpose, the very true nature and purpose which you were given. What is that? That's called revival. When we walk in love-based thinking, we are stepping into revival because it calls us into our true nature and purpose. When we walk as a king, see, Proverbs 20 and verse 8 tells us that the king scatters all evil with his eyes. All evil, just... because he looked. That's the authority God has given you. He's placed this authority in you to scatter evil with a look. You know, when your dad would give you the evil eye when you were about to steal a cookie? It's the same thing. See, all the other things didn't come in until after the fall. The usual motivators. God is calling us to love-based thinking. There's a response of love-based thinking. Because see, sometimes, you know, the thing that I'm concerned with is sometimes people hear the grace message and they get the wrong idea. They hear the grace message and they think, well, you know what? I don't have to do anything. God said, I'm just saved and that's good and I'm done with all that. God didn't call us to less because of his grace. He called us to more. Because see, a true love of God, a true walking out the grace of God is going to result in a greater passion in our heart. Because when we truly understand the love of God, there's a passion that is released in our heart. There's a white hot passion that will not be denied, and it will come to fulfill the calling in our life. It will come to fulfill destiny in our life. It will come to cause us to have this relationship with God in a brand new way. We see Jesus. He was the expression of who God is. Exact representation of His image. According to Hebrews 1 and 3. Jesus is that representation of who Christ is, of who the Father is. And so that what we're seeing there is someone, the first person to really walk on the planet, says Adam, with love-based thinking. So the things that he did came out of a heart of love-based thinking. And what did he do? He did what he heard and saw the Father do. Well, he only did that because why? Because he was hearing and seeing the Father in constant fellowship with the Father. How did he have that constant fellowship with the Father? Well, isn't it interesting to think about this? John, the apostle of love, was the one who recognized Holy Spirit. Of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels, only John. Yeah. One in Spanish. Only John recognized the Holy Spirit in the way that he did. Only he understood the importance of the Holy Spirit. Now, others came along. Paul came along and understood the importance of the Holy Spirit. And Luke in the book of Acts understood the importance of the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying in the Gospels, only John was the one, the guy who was known for the love. Known to be the closest one to the heart of Jesus. The one who laid his head on his breast understood the purpose of Holy Spirit. Because see, that's where the fellowship comes from. That's how Jesus knew. And that's how Jesus began to practice and walk out being a dual citizen. Because see, he understood that he has a place here on earth and he has an authority here on earth that's been God-given. But he also understood that his eternal being, that his spirit was also in contact, constant fellowship with the Father. A dual citizen. And he's caused us to be that same dual citizen. It's not about our performance. It's not about our performance. It's about our awareness that we're connected with God. You can be cooking dinner and still be connected with God. You can be working at the shop and still be connected with God. You can be selling something to somebody and still be connected with God. Be aware of His presence through Holy Spirit. This is what He's releasing. This is what He's desiring for us. Love-based thinking will have an awareness of your citizenship. Because you're citizens of heaven. That's not just my opinion. That's the Word. Philippians 3:20. Your citizenship is in heaven. I told you earlier that Christ created order. When you create order, what do you call it? What you're doing? You're creating unity. You're creating unity. Love-based thinking creates unity. Fear creates disjointedness, disharmony. Love creates harmony. Unity. See, he created a unity of truth everywhere that he went. And when he was dealing with the Pharisees, that truth was looked very different than the religion that was being exposed there. But when he was dealing with somebody who had a sickness and disease, he brought to them the truth, you are healed. You are sozoed, delivered, set free. He brought unity into the government, into society, because the words that he began to speak have guided man for 2,000 years now. When we walk in love, it creates unity and harmony. Not because of who we are, not because of all our performance, but because of what's carried with us. Simply because we're being aware of the presence of the Father. We're being aware of the presence and we're looking and we're thinking in some way besides the fear that we've known out of the past. We're thinking in love-based thinking. Ephesians 1 and 10 says he's going to gather together in one all things. He's going to gather together all things in him. Colossians 1 and 20 says he's going to reconcile all things to himself. Guess what? Love-based thinking reconciles all things to Jesus. That means when someone comes to us with a hurt or offense, then we're reconciling it to Jesus. We're not having to bear the burden of it on our own. We're not having to bear the shame of it on our own. We're reconciling it back to Jesus. We no longer have to walk with the burden of those things. We can reconcile it to Jesus. That's what he's looking for in love-based thinking. He's looking for us to come out of the mode of I've got to do it all by myself and come into a place of dependence upon him. Because in the dependence upon him is freedom from the performance. If I'm not the one doing it, then I'm not the one having to perform to make it happen. I mean, I can love you just in my own strength. You guys better hope I don't try that. Because that's not going to get me very far and probably not going to make you real delighted. We got to love in God's strength. We love out of his heart, out of his truth in our life. We love out of the place of his restoration and his hope. Because see, when we do that now, then we have all the power, all the authority of heaven at our disposal to deal with the situation. I'm not left to the meager resources I have within me. Hopefully my meager resources are a little more than that, but the reality is they're not always going to be. We want to walk in who God is. And I promise you at the top of this that we would learn how to see Jesus. Right? All right. John 14. Luke 11:28 says this, it says, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. I'm going to say happy is the one who hears the word and keeps it. It's interesting to note that that was right after Jesus had been accused of delivering people by the power of the devil. And he was telling them, no. Happy is he who hears the word and keeps it. In other words, what he's saying there is, no, the devil has free reign to do what he wants to do unless you're choosing to make me your strong man, unless you're choosing to make me the one who's Lord in your life. But when you hear the word of the kingdom, when you hear the word and you go, you know what? I understand. I need a deliverer. I need a healer. I need a Lord in my life. And you keep it. You harbor that in your heart. You accept that salvation that is offered and you accept that and you stay in that place of holding on to him as your Lord in your life. Then you're qualified. Blessed is he who hears the word and keeps it. And as such, as you hear the word and keep it, the devil has no entry into your life. Hallelujah. I just had to share that. Verse 21 of John 14. He who has my commandments and what? And keeps them, he is who loves me. When you have his commandment and you keep it, you hold on to it. You begin to meditate on it. When you have his commandment, that's what he says, that's those who love me. But there's a prize that comes forth. See, when we begin to have those commandments, when we have the understanding of who he is, we have the understanding of this righteousness that he's given us, there's something that comes forth. And he says, he who loves me and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. He who loves me shall be loved by my Father. In other words, when we begin to walk in love-based thinking, we're no longer doing it for performance. We're no longer doing it because we're afraid of something. We're doing it because we're in love. We're passionately desiring to honor and respect and cherish that which we have been given. Now we've got something that we can respond to. Now God's something He's going to respond to. And He says, here's my response. You're going to be loved by the Father, and I will disclose myself to you. I told you at the very start of the message, if you want to see Jesus, I was going to show you how to see Jesus. Right there is how you see Jesus. When you keep the word in your heart, when you keep the word in your heart, He just made you the promise, I will disclose myself to you. When you harbor His word, when you harbor this love, let this love be made manifest in your heart, and you begin to change your thinking from performance-based thinking into love-based thinking, leaving behind the shame, leaving behind the guilt, leaving behind all the old pains, leaving behind those things and walking in the fullness of His love, the fullness of His peace. What does love bring? It brings peace. Love brings truth. Love brings grace. When you walk in the grace of it, when you walk in the peace of it, when you walk in the freedom of it, now then He says, I will show myself to you. It's that simple. He says, I will disclose myself to you. That word disclose means manifest, exhibit to view, present oneself in sight of another. How many ways can He say, I'm going to show myself to you? We want to have an authentic Christianity. We want to have an authentic expression of the Lord Jesus in this place. We want to seek out an authentic relationship with God. Now, this is where it comes from, is the love. Walking no longer in a performance-based thinking, but walking in love-based thinking. Because love-based thinking will change our understanding of the world around us. It changes our understanding of ourselves, and it allows us to see and to hear and to know God in a whole new way. Your victory is a moment away. That quick. Your victory is a second away, stepping into His presence because you chose to. Because He already made the way clear for you. He already made it clear and evident to you in many, many different ways that He loved you. And out of that love, He chose you. And because He chose you, you have the access to Him. The only thing that stands in your way is your own thinking. And that's a decision. Lord, I decide. I make a choice. I make a choice to accept. I make a choice to believe what you believe. When we come into that kind of agreement, nothing can stop us. When we choose to believe what He believes, nothing can stand in our way. When we choose to believe what He believes, we are set free. He chooses us. Go to John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, I chose you. Your victory is right there for the taking. Right there for the taking. He already told you He chooses you. He already told you that if you'll respond to this, He'll show Himself to you. All we have to do is, Lord, I choose. I choose love-based thinking. I choose, Lord, to surrender to You everything that stands between me and love-based thinking. I choose to let go of the fear, the guilt, and the shame. I choose to let go of the past and the wrong identities. And I choose to receive Your promise. I choose, Lord, to no longer partake of the tree of good and evil, but to take, Lord, of the tree of life. For truly partaking of the love, partaking of love-based thinking, is partaking of the tree of life. Lord, we today, we come into agreement with you to partake of that tree of life, to partake of the love-based thinking you've made available to us. You chose us. Now today, we choose you. Amen.